Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid to 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are places in this world that hold a darkness so deep it seeps into the very walls that shelter them. An energy that lingers long after the last breath of life has left, and it waits, it watches, and sometimes it strikes. Traverse City, Michigan, once a tranquil lakeside town, holds one such place. What was once a sprawling state hospital for the mentally ill is now a converted apartment complex, its history overshadowed by the whispers of those who once walked its halls. For some, the building feels like home, but for others, it's a prison of fear, a haunting reminder of the past that refuses to die. Tonight, we share a story from the heart of this very place, a story of a young girl, her friend, and a group of teenagers who, eager for adventure, stepped into something they couldn't begin to understand. They were searching for thrills, maybe a ghost or two to explain away. What they found instead was something far darker. Was it just a coincidence, the shadows they saw moving in the corners of their eyes, or was something else at play here, something far more sinister? What was it that followed them into the stairwell that night? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, it all started on Allie's 17th birthday, an evening I'll never forget. We were celebrating at her apartment, a quirky place in Traverse City that, if you ask anyone around, has a reputation for being haunted. I was the first to arrive, and as usual, Allie and I found ourselves curled up on the couch watching our favorite show on the Travel Channel, Ghost Adventures. As we laughed and joked about how ridiculous the ghost hunters seemed at times, Allie suddenly turned to me with an almost conspiratorial grin. "Hey, let's do our own little investigation tonight," she suggested, her eyes sparkling with excitement. I agreed, knowing full well we were probably just going to end up filming some silly videos for fun. Allie's apartment, after all, was practically a hotbed of ghostly activity, or so she claimed. She told me countless stories, blinds rattling, in the dead of night, shadows darting around the corners of her room, a cold chill settling over her when no one else was around. One of the things I'd heard the most was about Chris, the ghost who supposedly haunted her apartment. Chris, according to Allie, liked to float around, showing up as a mist near the ceiling, sometimes even appearing in the bathroom doorway as a transparent figure. It was hard for me to buy into it, but Allie and her mom seemed convinced. So we started to gather our gear. Nothing too fancy, just a few cameras, an EMF reader, and an EVP recorder. Allie's mom was into ghost hunting, too, so we had access to some of her equipment. I don't know what I was expecting, but I certainly didn't anticipate what happened next. The party began to fill up as our friends started arriving, but Allie and I were already lost in our plans. We told everyone that we were going to explore the other floors of the building and do some ghost hunting. It was getting late, so the others agreed to wait until we finished our little adventure. The building, an old state hospital-turned apartment complex, had been undergoing renovations for years, but there were still strange creaks and groans coming from the walls, as if the building itself were alive. We decided to split up into teams, two of us in the hallways, two in the stairwells. Ray Lee, a friend of mine, who had experienced a fair share of encounters with the paranormal, joined me in the stairwell. Allie and Amanda took the hallways. We were all on our own, but we kept in touch by text in case anything major happened. The stairwell, dimly lit and narrow, felt eerily quiet at first. Ray Lee and I slowly made our way up the stairs, cameras in hand, trying to capture anything unusual. We didn't expect anything serious to happen. It was all for fun, right? At least, that's what I thought. We reached the top of the stairs and we began asking questions into the stillness. "Is anyone here with us?" I called softly. "What is your name?" We stood in silence, waiting. Then suddenly, my EMF reader began to beep, a sound that sent a chill down my spine. I looked at Rayleigh, confused, and then she pointed behind me. "Look," she said, her voice barely a whisper. I turned around and there it was, a dark cloud hovering just above the stairwell. It wasn't like smoke or fog, but something far more menacing. The cloud was shadow-like, darker than the surrounding darkness, and seemed to be watching us. My heart raced. There was no one else up here, no reason for this cloud to be there. Allie and Amanda were downstairs, and the rest of the building was quiet. I texted Allie, telling her to come up to the stairwell. She arrived shortly after, and I explained what had happened. But by the time she made it, the cloud had vanished, leaving nothing but an oppressive air where it had been. We all stood in the stairwell, confused and on edge. We pulled out the EVP recorder to see if we could catch any voices from the spirit that had just appeared. We played it back, and to our surprise, we did hear something, a raspy whisper, as if someone was right next to us. It sounded young, like a man in his 20s, but there was something strange about the voice. It was almost like he was struggling to speak, barely audible, yet distinct. He identified himself as Jeremy. The tension in the air thickened, but we decided to press on. We weren't going to let one strange occurrence stop us. We continued up the stairs, trying to track down Jeremy. The EMF started beeping again, louder this time, almost frantic. We froze. Something was definitely here. As we moved further up the stairs, the temperature dropped suddenly, a stark contrast to the warmth of the summer night. It was impossible to ignore. I looked around and checked the windows nearby, expecting some kind of draft, but they were all sealed tight. Rayleigh shivered beside me, her breath misting in the suddenly cold air. And then there it was again, the dark shadow cloud. But this time, it didn't hover in the distance. It descended toward us. My gut instinct told me it was time to go. Fast. "Everyone, we need to leave. Now," I said, my voice tight with fear. Something wasn't right with this cloud. It wasn't like anything we'd experienced before. We quickly turned and started making our way back down the stairs. I was leading the group when suddenly I felt Rayleigh grab onto my arm. I almost lost my balance, but I caught myself just in time. I turned to her, confused, and she looked pale. "I don't know what happened," she said quietly. "It felt like something grabbed my legs. I couldn't move, and all my energy was just drained." I could see she wasn't faking it. She looked exhausted, like she had just run a marathon. We stood there for a moment, letting her regain her strength, unsure of what was happening. Allie, still filming, caught it all. We couldn't explain it, but when we looked at the footage later, the shadow cloud was right there with Rayleigh. It was cold, almost freezing, and the EMF reader went haywire, making it almost impossible to use. When Rayleigh finally regained her energy, we made our way back to Allie's apartment, but the fear still clung to us. Rayleigh was shaken, and we all had a sense that we had just encountered something far darker than we expected. The EVP recording revealed something chilling. When I asked, "Why did you attack my friend?" a voice responded, this time much angrier than before. "I want you to leave," it hissed, sounding furious. That voice, it was angry, demanding that we get out. But was this the same spirit we'd been hearing about? Was it Jeremy or something else entirely? I don't know. All I know is that night I learned something about the paranormal that I wasn't prepared for. Something sinister had followed us out of that stairwell, and it wasn't finished with us yet. We made it back to Allie's apartment, but the atmosphere had changed. The energy that had surrounded us in the stairwell seemed to follow us back. Allie's apartment, which had always felt a little unsettling, now felt like a true refuge in comparison. But as we stepped inside, the eerie chill we had experienced in the stairwell seemed to remain with us, lingering in the air like a heavy fog. We tried to brush off the events, laughing nervously and checking the footage and recordings we had captured, but the tension was palpable. Rayleigh still looked shaken, pale, and her energy seemed drained, like something had siphoned off more than just her physical strength. The worst part? She couldn't explain what had happened. It was like her body had simply given out for no reason. We reviewed the EVP recordings, hoping for some clarity, but what we heard only deepened the mystery. The voice, that same rasping whisper, had only gotten more agitated. "Leave!" It repeated over and over, each time louder, more insistent. The anger in its tone was unmistakable. It wasn't just a spirit trying to communicate. It was something with a clear message. We weren't welcome. We tried to rationalize it. Maybe it was just a trick of the mind, or maybe the building's history was seeping into our reality. After all, Allie and her mom had experienced their own strange encounters with Chris, but nothing like what we had just gone through. This felt different. Darker. The group was silent for a while, each of us processing what had happened, trying to make sense of it. Allie suggested we get some rest and regroup in the morning, but it was hard to relax. Every time I closed my eyes, I could still feel the chill that had descended on us in the stairwell. I couldn't shake the image of that dark shadow cloud hovering above us, slowly descending. But the weirdest part, the last EVP we listened to, it was captured right before we ran. When I asked, "Can she please have her energy back so we can leave?" There was a pause, then a harsh, cold voice responded, "Leave! Now!" That was the only thing we could make out clearly. After listening to that again, I knew something wasn't right. Rayleigh's legs had given out, and it wasn't like anything we had experienced before. The shadow cloud had targeted her, and it was almost as if it was feeding on her energy. But why? What had we done to provoke this? The next day, Allie and I went over the footage once more. We were hoping that by reviewing it, we could find some answers, maybe see something we had missed. The camera had caught more than we realized. One part of the footage stood out to me, a fleeting shadow barely visible in the corner of the frame. It was subtle, almost undetectable, but when we zoomed in, it became clear. A shape, dark, shifting, and unlike any human form, moved rapidly across the wall. Allie, who had always been so matter-of-fact about her experiences, was visibly shaken by what we had found. She had seen ghosts before, Chris mostly, but this was different. This wasn't the playful, curious spirit she had been dealing with for years. This was something angry, something that wanted us out. The haunting wasn't just confined to the building anymore. That night, as we tried to sleep, strange things began to happen. The blinds in Allie's room rattled, a familiar sound, but louder this time, as though something were trying to get our attention. The air grew thick with that same coldness, and the shadows outside Allie's window seemed to stretch unnaturally long. The most chilling thing, however, was the feeling. We had all felt it. The sensation that something was watching us, waiting for us to let our guard down. I couldn't help but feel that the shadow cloud was still out there somewhere, lingering, watching. Its warning, "Leave now!" still echoed in my mind. That was when I realized this wasn't just an investigation gone wrong. This wasn't just a ghostly encounter. We had stumbled into something much deeper, something far more sinister than we ever intended. And now it seemed the spirits weren't going to let us forget about them. We spent the rest of the night trying to calm our nerves, but sleep didn't come easily. I kept thinking about Ray Lee, how the dark shadow cloud had targeted her. Why her? What was it about her that made the spirit so angry? The next morning, Allie and I talked about the possibility of going back to the stairwell to face whatever we had encountered. We knew it was dangerous, but something kept pulling us back. Was it fear? Curiosity? Or was there something else, something darker, that wanted us to return? But as we spoke, we received a message from Ray Lee. She was still recovering from the previous night, still drained from the attack. She didn't want to return to the building. She was done with it. I couldn't blame her. In fact, I felt the same way. But something inside me told me that our unfinished business with that place wasn't over. That shadow cloud, that angry spirit, was still out there waiting, and it was waiting for us to make our next move. Thanks for taking the time to read this letter. This story, while chilling, is far from the stuff of campfire tales. There are questions here. Questions about what lurks in the shadows, about the nature of fear, and whether something beyond our understanding may be watching, waiting for a reason to act. This young group of ghost hunters unknowingly stepped into a world that's as much psychological as it is paranormal. A world where energy, both physical and emotional, can be drained, manipulated, and altered. From a psychological standpoint, what the group experienced can be viewed through a lens of heightened stress and expectation. The power of suggestion, particularly in environments where one is already primed to perceive the supernatural, can result in vivid experiences that feel all too real. The mind, under pressure, can convince us that we are in physical danger even when no immediate threat is present. The experiences described here, particularly Rayleigh's sudden loss of strength and the strange chill in the air, could stem from the body's natural responses to stress or fear, or even environmental factors like changes in temperature or the building's age and structure. Old buildings like these, with their creaky floors and drafty hallways, often have ways of making us feel uneasy without any need for ghostly intervention. But then, there's the other side, the one we're less inclined to explore. The idea that this wasn't just an overactive imagination at work. Spirits, energies, whatever you want to call them, are a mystery to us. When the group encounters the dark shadow cloud, the temperature drop, and the aggressive tone of the EVP recording, there's something unsettlingly real about it all. Spirits of the dead, they say, are bound by the past, tethered to places they once inhabited, and sometimes those spirits are less interested in peaceful coexistence than they are in making their presence known. That cloud, that dark, shifting shadow, wasn't a figment of their collective imagination. It responded to them, to Ray Lee, in a way that felt almost intentional. Was it Jeremy, the young spirit they first made contact with, or was it something older, something darker, lashing out at the intruders? It's impossible to say for sure, and perhaps that's the most unsettling part of this story. The uncertainty, the unresolved mystery of what happened in those stairwells, and what continues to haunt that building. One thing is certain, though. The fear they felt was not just a reaction to the unknown, it was a visceral, gut-deep instinct that told them to leave. And when Rayleigh was targeted, when the cloud focused on her, that fear became more than a natural response. It became a warning. A warning that sometimes the spirits we seek to understand are not interested in being understood at all. Is this all the result of heightened imaginations? Or could there truly be something lurking in the corners of that building, waiting for its next encounter? We may never know. But what's undeniable is that sometimes the mysteries we stumble upon are far deeper and darker than we ever imagined. The question remains, will these spirits ever let go of their claim on that building? Or will the whispers and shadows continue to haunt anyone who dares to seek answers?
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spin on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.